What's up, everyone? This is Josh Peterson of Humanikin Media.
And I'm Gerald Glassford, and we're from the Pop Culture Cosmos and the PCC Multiverse. And you're listening to Weird, a Two Dudes podcast right here on the ACE Podcast Network.
I feel like there's a joke in here somewhere.
I know, that's really weird, isn't it?
ACE Podcast.
Weird.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hey, I'm over here. I'm over by the microphone.
What's up?
Hey, it's me, Craig.
Hey, Craig. How are you?
Hey,
it's me, Aaron.
Pretty good. Hey, I called you in here for a reason today.
And we're weird.
Yeah, we're weird. Hey, there's a reason we're having a band meeting.
No, this is actual podcast recording.
Oh, I thought this was a
band meeting ended like 5 minutes ago.
Was I late?
No.
I was.
Actually, you were early today.
I was actually kind of early.
Yeah, it was cool.
So it's Friday, October 6th.
That's right. Welcome to Weird, if this is your first time listening. Welcome.
We're sorry.
No, welcome.
Here,
you'll find all the weird.
What did you say?
I said, this is where you'll find all the weird that needs to be heard.
You know, you're not coughing and hacking.
You know what? I feel 100% better. I'd like to shout out to my doctor.
Too bad you don't look better.
You know my doctor, don't you? Dr. Vinny Boombots.
Doctor.
Okay, enough of this weirdness because we have a review.
Oh, yeah, we do, from Robo19.
Yes. Can you read it like in a robo voice? It's a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Okay.
This comes from Robo19. The guys are entertaining, beep, bop, boop. Fun and always sound like they're having a great time, beep, boop, bop.
That's because we're good actors.
Keep up the good work and thanks for the laughs.
You're welcome, Robo19. That's awesome. Thank you so much for...
Robo, beep, bop, beep, bop, beep, beep, boop, bop, beep,
for
bop,
leaving
bop.
Us.
Sorry, I just told them in robot to send the check.
I love reviews, especially ones like this. They make me feel good and they make me feel like, you know what? People appreciate what we're doing.
Well, and at least it makes us feel like they're acting like they think they are appreciating what we're doing.
Yeah, and you know what? I really enjoy what we're doing because it's better than having a spider eat your face.
We've talked about this before. I do not like spiders.
Snakes?
Or snakes.
Well, from the makers.
I do not like them on my plate. I do not want them on my
face.
Try
them on a train.
I don't want to try them on a train. I want to try them with some brains. What?
From the makers of Spiders Will Eat Your Face comes the Animal Saga. Now, Saga. Yes.
Most people say Saga.
Saga Genesis.
Okay, whatever.
Spiders Will Eat Your Face, we've discussed at length because it's a very interesting documentary and it's done in a weird, different kind of style that's fit for our audience.
Right.
But anyway.
And now there's Hamsters Eat Your Face.
Well, Spiders Will Eat Your Face is part of this Animal Saga, which includes three
Quit
films.
Quit saying Saga.
Including Spiders Will Eat Your Face, Hamsters, The History, and Goldfish Bowl, Death by Glass. So you can get all this pet history on Amazon, or you can go to www.bigweaselilweasel.club. That's bigweaselilweasel.club.
So basically, Big Weasel Lil, L-I-L in the middle.
Yeah, like Lil Will.
So yeah, Big Weasel Lil. Weasel.club.
Exactly.
Should we say that again? You think they got it?
I think they got it. If not, just if you didn't get that, back it up 15 seconds.
Yeah, that'll work usually.
You got top story tonight?
I got top story most of the time, don't I?
Okay, yeah.
Top story.
Indiana cops actually shot at a guy playing a bank robber in a movie.
Now, why would they do that? It's a movie.
Well, I don't know.
Was it a fake gun? It was a movie gun.
Shouldn't they know that a movie was blocked off? Did they not block the movie?
I don't know.
Should we read and find out what it is? Actor Jim Duff, you know Jimmy Duff.
Yeah, that old man Duff's boy.
Yeah, just finished shooting a scene for a heist film he was working on in Crawfordsville, Indiana, when he stepped outside, costumed in a black ski mask, holding his prop pistol in hand.
No.
Seconds later, he found himself surrounded by actual police officers ordering him to drop his weapon. I'm going to predict this guy was making just a little low-budget movie on his own and had no good sense.
Either that or he deserves an Oscar just for walking out the door.
Maybe, yeah.
He made them believe it.
Indiana State Police told Fox 59 that they received a call Tuesday reporting an armed robbery at Crawfordsville Backstep Brewery, where, unbeknownst to the cops, Duff and his crew were filming a heist flick when police saw Duff back out of the brewery in what looked like a bona fide get-up straight out of Heat. They pulled their weapons. Police said they screamed at Duff to drop his gun, but he just turned around like dumbfounded by whatever the heck was happening behind him.
Really? He's like, are you serious?
The next thing I know, I heard a gunshot and something buzzed by my head.
That is too close for comfort.
Duff said he ripped off his mask, tossed his toy gun to the ground, and screamed, "It's a movie!" at the cops gathered around him. Lucky for him, the shot missed and no one was hurt.
Wait, let's stop.
You think it was the cop from The Simpsons? He went, "Sorry."
So, what if he killed him?
Yeah.
How bad would that have been?
Well, again, let's see what else happened here. Okay, I bet he didn't have his stuff together. Apparently, low-budget studio behind the movie, Montgomery County Movies, had failed to tip law enforcement off about their plans to film a realistic-looking bank robbery at a real neighborhood brewery. They also reportedly had all the camera gear inside the building and didn't have any quiet on the set signs. Well, you got to stop by Ace Hardware and get the quiet on the set signs.
If Ace is open.
Yeah, right. Or signs or whatever hanging up all over the building. Okay, so anyway, he was in a ski mask and holding a weapon. Whether it's real or not, you don't know.
No.
That at the time, Riley told Fox 59.
And that's a good point.
When you're told to do something, the one thing you don't do is turn around towards the police when you're holding a gun.
No, unless they say turn around.
Yeah, turn around and show us your gun.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that Duff's weapon was about as lethal as a Nerf gun, those things could hit you in the face.
Yeah, I got shot in the eye one time with the Nerf gun.
Police detained him and held him in custody until they could confirm his story. He was later released.
Well, good, because, you know, he's got a movie to shoot and whatnot.
Yeah.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Headline is, man brings what he says is a bomb to Red Lobster just to make you smile. Claims to be Taliban. Only in Florida.
So there are a lot of things immediately that stand out in this.
Yes. Such as?
Okay, a guy brings a bomb into a restaurant, of all restaurants, just randomly Red Lobster.
Red Lobster. He wanted some of those biscuits.
Then he thinks it's going to make everybody smile.
What are they, cheese biscuits? Is that what
they're garlic cheese or something. You can buy that mix and make them yourself at home.
I ain't got time for that.
Anywho, so he first of all thinks he goes to a restaurant and he has something he calls a bomb.
Yeah.
He thinks it's going to make people smile.
Right. They always do.
And then to put some thick icing on top, he goes ahead and he throws in the Taliban thing.
This comes to us from Largo, Florida. A man walked into a Red Lobster claiming to work for the Taliban and to have a bomb in his bag. According to the general manager, a man with a black bag entered the store and told the hostess, "Just to make you smile, I work for the Taliban and I have a bomb in this bag."
Taliban.
I don't even get that sentence.
I don't either.
The man asked for a booth near the window. And he and another woman were seated away from other guests.
You know why I wanted by the window?
Why?
Because it makes a brilliant glass show when that goes off.
I guess.
You got to film
in slow-mo.
Right. Yeah. You'll miss it. And 3,000 frames a second, too, because you won't catch anything if you don't. No.
At Largo's PD's direction, the customer and the staff were quietly evacuated as patrol officers set up a perimeter around the building.
Where did our waitress go? Can I get some water?
Man, we've been waiting 15 minutes for our cheese biscuits.
Yeah.
About 15 minutes later, the suspect left out the front door and told officers there was nothing in the bag, and he was just joking.
It was just joking.
It was funny. His bag was searched and no explosives or other suspicious material was found. Freddie Claudrick Bryant, three names, was arrested and charged with a false report concerning planting a bomb or an explosive.
And it seemed like that was really going to work out.
Yeah.
You know,
I still don't get it. What?
Maybe if he went in there and he was going to set the lobsters free.
No. Hey, that's the type of guy that'll get on an airplane and just say bomb.
Yeah, you don't do that.
No, you can't do that.
You don't do that at the airport?
Or he'll go into a theater and yell fire.
You don't do that.
No, there's nothing funny about that.
No, unless you're actually in the theater and it's on fire.
No, then you do it.
Then you do that, right.
Yeah.
Or maybe if you were on an airplane and you saw a guy with one of those cartoon bombs, with this black ones with the little fuse on top,
yeah.
Then you might want to yell there's a bomb.
Then you would.
But you don't just do it.
No.
No, that would be bad.
You can't say bomb on an airplane.
You don't say that. You don't say anything that sounds like it either.
No, you don't say
dom. Be careful saying mom.
Right. You can't say
anything
ROM,
like that. Right.
CD-ROM.
Right. You can't say any of that stuff because it makes people kind of jumpy.
Yeah.
Should I continue? Because we got a weird update.
Darn it.
Jogger dubbed Mad Pooper might have a brain injury.
Okay. This story probably heads back in the direction, but can you remind everyone, all of the listener, what the Mad Pooper is
all
about?
The Mad Pooper was this woman that would go jogging and she kept
pooping
on these people's, like, the same yard.
Yes.
She kept doing it over and over again. And I think other places possibly, too.
Yeah. And she had a collar. It said Fido.
Right. And more importantly, why am I hearing the poop music?
You're talking about... A That's just waiting for the right opportunity.
Oh, well, just making sure. Sometimes you kind of drop the ball on that. Hey, it's not a Colorado jogger's fault she's pooping on people's lawns because she suffered a traumatic brain injury and now simply can't control where she does her business, according to a man who claimed to be, quote unquote, a family representative.
What an odd thing to have.
I want to get a card that says, you know, Craig, family representative.
And I'll be Aaron. Can't control where he poops.
Yeah, right. Nevertheless, the mad pooper would like to apologize for her actions, said the unidentified man. Nobody knows him when they see him.
So sad.
In a since-removed YouTube video, her bathroom behavior is similar to breastfeeding in public. I wouldn't say they're not at all like.
Nope.
Nope.
Not comparative.
And is protected under the First Amendment, the unidentified man claimed.
I don't think so. Not in my opinion.
I don't think so, but hey, whatever.
Yeah.
But a criminal defense attorney said the man is full of crap.
Unlike his his family member.
Defecating in someone's yard is definitely not protected under the First Amendment and is actually a crime,
absolutely.
Jeremy Lowe said.
Yeah.
The woman could actually be charged with indecent exposure, which might land her in a sex offender's registry, Lowe added. Now, that's a weird connection.
There's all kind of things she could get charged
with. The jogger
with.
Has been pooping outside the Colorado Springs home of Kathy Buttle. Too bad it's not spelled with two T's.
Really?
Buttle. At least once a week, and cops have been trying to get to the bottom of the mystery. You know what would have taken care of this real quick?
What?
A bear trap.
Oh, crap.
Exactly. Yeah. The supposed spokesman, who also claimed the woman underwent gender reassignment surgery, refused to provide any verification that he is representing the daring defecator's family. But Lowe said this videotape statement was a bad said his video statement.
Sure it was.
Was a bad move.
First Amendment.
This is actually the worst thing the family could do, he said. People all over the world are talking about this, and police will catch her. The man in the video will also have to be called into court to testify.
Sure, he messed up.
His claim that the public defecation is akin to public breastfeeding also was met with scorn. We just met it with some scorn just then.
Absolutely.
I breastfed all of my fortune. It's actually a woman, but she talks very manly.
She smoked her whole life.
Okay, but here we go. I breastfed all of... Oh, she's that English woman again.
Really?
Yeah, she's always on the show now. Have you noticed
that? She's in the weird news all the time.
All the time. I breastfed all my four children, and that's just ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. Neighbor Shirley Thevenot, said, there's no comparison between those. Resident Julie Teveteller.
Where is this from?
Where is this name coming from? Breastfeeding is nourishing a child. You're doing something to take care of someone, but pooping in a lawn, someone's lawn, is also damaging.
Yeah.
It could be good fertilizer.
No. No, you don't want to try that.
I'm not going to.
Speaking of bodily fluids,
this next one. You might want to tap the brakes on this one a little bit.
Bodily fluids found in Detroit airport soap dispenser. That headline kind of made me want to go, because that's just weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things. I mean, there's like this.
Yeah.
Why don't you just tap the brakes a little on this one?
An investigation.
I think we're going to ease on into this story.
An investigation is underway at Detroit Metropolitan Airport, and it has nothing to do with the planes in the air, but the soap in the bathrooms.
Oh, no.
Airport officials say they are investigating an unusual substance found in the soap dispensers in the North Terminal restrooms last week.
You never go to the North
Terminal. No, South Terminal.
The South Terminal is always. Everybody knows that.
Those who work at the airport say it is believed that the substance is a bodily fluid.
It could be saliva.
It could be.
It could be blood.
Yeah, it could
blood?
Be anything. It's Traveler Matthew Demers of Clinton Township never expected this. So I just used the men's bathroom. I just washed my hands coming out to find out this. It's a little disgusting, he said. In a statement, the airport authority says that it takes health and safety very seriously at the airport. The question now is, who would do such a thing?
A weirdo.
Yeah. I don't even know how someone would find the time to do that. You can see it as kind of, it's busy around here at the airport. McClendon, who cleans the bathrooms. Oh, suspect number one. McClendon, who cleans the bathrooms at Detroit Metro, says workers do not believe a passenger is responsible. It would have been a person who had access to the soap dispensers.
Yeah, because here's the thing. Okay, wait. They're under the sink is what it says.
Okay.
So these are the ones that you have to take off and fill with a liquid soap and then put back under there.
Yeah, you screw them back under
there. And I personally have tried to change one of these before,
yeah.
And they are not like you do them in 2 seconds.
No, it takes a minute.
It takes some time.
Actually,
yeah.
Back in the 80s, I was on a maintenance crew at a big office building, and this was part of my job was to fill the soap dispensers.
Is that when you were on the janitor's crew at high school?
No, not at all.
I bet you did it then too, didn't you?
So a lot of crazy things happen at the airport. If I'd have thought about it back in high school, I would have put something in there, but it just never crossed my mind.
Sloppy Joe meat.
Yes. Something from the cafeteria.
Yeah.
Now I'm thinking.
Back then, though, they were like real soap dispensers, like the little button on the bottom or something.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The Airport Authority is in the process of installing new tamper-proof soap dispensers and are more frequently monitoring the restrooms. McClendon says the cleaning staff has had to take extra measures to make sure the liquid soap is, in fact, soap. We wash our hands in the break room before we come upstairs, she said. She sounds like a guy from the South. Because there is no telling what's in there. We have to check them before we even get off the floor, each shift. I don't know what would go through someone's mind to ever think about doing that, said Demers. It's really disgusting.
It's just weird. Hey.
Okay.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to read this because it doesn't make a lot of sense at first.
KFC.
KFC unveils industry's first GPS cassette tape.
GPS. Wait, cassette tape and GPS don't even go
together. Those two things don't get... Well, chicken doesn't go with it either.
But what's up with KFC? Have you noticed all the stuff they're coming out with?
I think they're trying to distract from their high prices.
They have a clothing line. They have a cell phone. And some other weird stuff.
They feel the vacuum of irrelevance sucking them towards the big vortex.
You know what? I don't know whether to think they're way ahead of the game.
Or no, I think they're just I think they're scrambling.
Eggs?
I was thinking that, but I wasn't going to go there.
Have you had the new Taco Bell breakfast
burrito? No, I have
burrito?
Not. Have you?
No. No, I'm on a
it's
diet.
It's not a burrito. It's a taco.
It is a taco.
Know
it,
your stuff.
It's a taco, and it looks delicious, but I can't right
a lot
now.
Of things look delicious.
By the time I'm off this diet, it'll be gone.
Do you think maybe I could talk about the KFC GPS cassette tape?
I'm just impressed with KFC lately.
In an effort to both modernize cassette tape technology, like anybody wanted them to.
Real meal for $5.
And pay homage to...
Real meal for $5. Real meal for $5.
What are you doing?
Real meal for $5.
I don't watch TV.
Finger licking good.
I don't know what you're doing.
That's a commercial.
I don't watch TV.
Okay.
I don't have TV. You know, I am. Hey, you hear a weird random story?
Are you talking about a Craig's random story?
Craig's random story.
Yeah, we got rid of cable a long time ago.
Craig's
that
random
may be your best
story.
Random story yet.
Yeah.
So you cut the cable.
We cut cable a long
time.
So
what do you watch?
Netflix, stuff like that.
So you do watch. It's just that's got to be kind of cool, actually.
Well, you know.
Here's okay.
What's cooler is talking about GPS cassette tapes.
Can I use your song?
Sure.
Okay.
Craig's random story.
That almost worked.
Okay, so I called. We got our DirecTV bill. And you know when you get DirecTV, there's all these discounts upon discounts upon discounts, and they
that's
load you
AT&T's.
Up. It's like 7 cents for the first 6 months, and then it goes up to $3,429. So anyway, ours recently shot up. Our discounts ran out.
You got the balloon.
So I called them to lower our service.
To threaten them.
I called them to lower the service and to cut our bill, right? And ended up hanging up with 5 new channels.
Did you get a lower price?
Yeah, for 3 months.
Yeah, they. I will say AT&T, who owns Direct,
they're
pretty good. I've actually, I mean, they do screw up and really make me mad sometimes, but I usually leave the phone call with extra stuff.
See, that's the thing, and I've never been unhappy with AT&T. We actually switched a few years back to a different satellite system. And I was very unhappy. And the only reason we switched was because they made us this offer. You know, we'll give you $300.
I like Dish Network.
I did not. I did not like it at all. Maybe it's because I was used to Direct.
Right.
But the story is here, I called to cut my service, and they were such good salespeople that I ended up
They cut
with,
the service and gave you more channels.
And got more
they
channels.
Cut they cut the price and gave
yes,
you more channels.
But now I've got to remember to call back in 3 months to get it cut again.
Craig's random story.
Do I need to make you one?
Yeah, you don't mind.
But you don't have random stories all the time.
I don't very much. But that was random.
Yours could be Aaron's stupid comment.
Okay.
That might work.
That kind of hurt my feelings a little bit, but I'm okay.
You don't have any feelings. Okay, so now that everybody's forgotten what we're talking about, we're talking about KFC unveiling the industry's first GPS cassette tape.
What is a GPS cassette tape?
We're going to find out if you'll be quiet. In an effort to modernize cassette tape technology and pay homage to the classic American road trip.
Can you even call it cassette tape technology? It's just cassette.
I don't know. It's just tape rolled up.
Yes.
The world's most innovative fried chicken company, Kentucky Fried Chicken, announced its latest breakthrough, the world's first ever GPS cassette tape. Quite literally, the technology's superior, technologically superior cassette tape provides GPS directions on a cassette tape with the voice of Colonel Harlan Sanders giving overly detailed directions, rambling down hilarious tangents, and singing his favorite road trip sing-along songs.
Oh my gosh, I need to hear some
Although
of this.
Although nearly all modern-day GPS systems are significantly easier to use and are based on 30, and aren't based on 30-year-old cassette tape technology. KFC does things the hard way, which is how this charming reverse technological breakthrough came to be. The digital audio formats we have today pale in comparison to the mahogany-rich sound of classic vinyl records. Mahogany-rich? Is it made with wood?
It must be.
Says Steve Kelly, director of media and tech and digital. Media and digital. In KFC US. Unfortunately, no one ever figured out an easy way to put record players in cars, so we went with the next best audio format, a cassette tape. Well, guess what, Steve Kelly? You did not put the cassette tape in the car. You're just riding on the coattails of the cassette that's in the car, right? Am I right?
You are so right. You want to hear a little bit of a sample?
Okay.
Only by pressing play can we arrive at our destination.
That's a commercial.
Proceed to the route. The route. The route.
The future. Introducing the world's first GPS cassette tape.
Turn left onto Illinois Avenue and drive 0.5 miles.
You might be saying to yourself, I don't understand. That's not possible. Well, it's possible that you're wrong.
I don't understand. Is it? It doesn't go in a cassette player, obviously.
It does.
Just put the tape in.
Who still has a cassette player?
Where to go?
The Colonel.
Turn right onto Kentucky 715 South Road. We'll arrive in 3 hours and 57
minutes. Where will you go?
For this to work...
Turn this around. I want to see this thing.
You would have to start at the same point every time you got in the car and end up at the same point every place you went.
So it doesn't actually do anything.
No, it's just a... as far as I can tell, it does. It gives you directions. It's just...
But it's the same... So it is just a tape... It's just a recording.
Yes, it's just a recording.
Good grief. Beginning in KFC's hometown, Louisville, Kentucky, and ending at KFC's iconic Big Chicken restaurant in Marietta, Georgia.
That's the key.
I've been there.
So you got to start in Kentucky.
Right.
Okay.
KFC's GPS cassette tape narrates a picturesque drive through the part of the country responsible for Georgia gold honey mustard barbecue and Nashville hot. I don't want to say Nashville hot chicken. Two popular regional flavors that can be currently found on KFC menus nationwide as extra crispy tenders, chicken littles, and extra crispy chicken.
Now, to me, it makes complete sense.
I guess, yeah.
Because you buy it here in Kentucky, and
not in Kentucky.
No, we're not here in Kentucky. We're close. It's next door. But then you pop it in your cassette player if you have one. If not, I don't know what you do.
Well, it says the meandering drive makes pit stops at unique cultural experiences in Kentucky, Tennessee, and Georgia, including a stop in Corbin, Kentucky, where Colonel Sanders invented his original recipe. By simply pressing pause on the cassette at any time, road trippers can take in the Americana nostalgia found throughout the Appalachian region without the distractions of on-screen directions and or unrelenting interruptions by artificial intelligent direction apps. Through the cassette tapes off the beaten path prompts, KFC fans are directed to take unexpected turns and try our Georgia gold honey mustard barbecue and Nashville hot regional flavors along the way, creating a journey full, you know, journey.
Journey. Don't stop believing.
Right. Of experiences that recalls the trip Colonel Sanders took selling his famous fried chicken recipe door to door in the 1950s. You know, the rest of this is just...
Yeah.
It's just...
I get the idea, and I think it's a fantastic... not only... Somebody in their marketing department is working overtime.
Well, you know, probably for what they're paying them to make enough money to pay their bills.
Yeah, probably. Headline is, beer-drinking men watch lawnmower burn, shoot at cars, and then set a house on fire.
Hey, I got a picture of a burnt lawnmower.
I know, and I told you about these guys when you showed me that mower.
Well, I didn't burn the lawnmower, though.
No, you didn't.
I found it that way.
Yeah, it was already burned. A man and his uncle fired a gun at passing cars in northern Erdo County.
Okay, again, let's go through the list again. You don't yell fire in a theater.
No.
You don't say anything about a bomb on an airplane.
No.
You don't fire guns at passing cars.
Even BB guns. You don't fire anything at
passing
cars.
Don't wave anything that looks like a gun.
Did you ever shoot bottle rockets at cars?
We shot them at everything.
I didn't.
Liar.
Liar. While drinking beer and watching their lawnmower and vehicle burn. Oh, it just got more interesting.
Yeah.
And the uncle was later injured after he set his house on fire. What is wrong with these people? Deputies also shot the uncle, Jimmy Carson Messer. Jimmy Messer.
Jimmy.
Always making a mess. They shot him with a taser as he resisted arrest.
He dropped it. I bet he spilled his beer, too.
He said, tase me, officer. The incident happened after 8 p.m.
Don't tase me, bro.
And the incident happened after 8 p.m. on Tuesday at Messer's house. According to a press release, the deputies say a passing driver reported that the two men had fired a gun at them. Deputies arrived at the home and found Messer, age 62, Craig, way old enough to know better, with his 30-year-old nephew, still old enough to know better,
Bobby Lee.
Bobby Lee. Bobby Lee Messer Jr., of course. The two were in the front yard drinking beer. What? Hey, don't you just love to look back and think, oh, man, the times me and my uncle got drunk.
And just sat there.
Yeah, and shot at cars.
That never happened.
Me either.
No, never happened.
Bobby Messer told deputies that he had a gun in his pocket, and the sheriff's office said, after talking with the men, both were arrested.
I'd like to imagine they had wife beaters on with like big greasy stains on the front.
Yes, maybe a couple of holes where the sparks from the lawnmower burned them. Jimmy Messer then slipped out of his handcuffs and resisted arrest. Campbell said Jimmy Messer was shot with the taser.
They call him Slippy Jimmy because he gets out of those handcuffs every single time.
To take him into custody. The fires were still burning in the yard while the arrest took place. Bobby Messer, he was charged with two counts of assault with a deadly weapon related to firing his gun at passing cars. His uncle was charged with resisting, obstructing, and delaying the investigation, but was later released on a $5,000 unsecured bond. Maybe
this
not
is
the
a normal
best.
Weekend for them.
Man, I know folks like, well, I know of folks like this.
Yeah. Well, let's not talk about your family right now.
Yes.
Mother of four arrested for leaving young kids at home alone while she vacationed in Germany.
And she was heard saying, Kevin!
Yeah.
Kevin!
An Iowa mother's European vacation came to an abrupt end. Aaron Lee Mack, or Mackie, was arrested.
I'd say Mackie.
Was arrested Thursday by Johnston police for allegedly leaving her four young children at home when she traveled to Germany for a limited vacation. According to a press release.
That same thing.
According to a press release, police were called to Mackie's home on September 21st following a report that children had been left without adult supervision. When cops arrived, they found Mackie's 12-year-old twins, a 6-year-old and a 7-year-old home alone. Police said the day before they were called, the 30-year-old mother had left the country to go to Germany and wasn't expected to come back until October 1st. What kind of brain cells are missing in this person?
Something's missing big time.
Investigators, I bet she also poops in people's yards.
I was about to say, I wonder if she has an issue.
Yeah. Investigators confirmed that Mackie had made no arrangements to provide adult supervision or care for her children while she was away. The Iowa Department of Human Services came to get the children while police called Mackie and ordered her, I order you, to return home from Germany. Police said Mackie Police said Mackie arrived back in the U.S. on Thursday and was arrested for four counts of child endangerment and one count of making a firearm available to a person. They're getting it for everything now.
She left a gun. She said, if anybody tries to hurt you, shoot them.
Well, either they're just looking for anything at this point.
Sure.
She might have had it. Who knows? She's currently at the Polk County Jail on a $9,000 bond, according to jail records. That's where I go for all my jail records is jail records. Her children are in the care of extended family members.
Wow. People, don't leave your 12-year-old twins at home alone for 11 days.
What about your 7-year-old?
You know, Sarah, my daughter, who's been on the show, she was a very mature 12-year-old, but I wouldn't leave town leaving her with just her and James. Headline is, crab climbs out of a pot and switches off the hot plate.
Video or it didn't happen.
There is a video. A crab with a strong will to live was filmed climbing out of a pot of heating water and switching off the hot plate to save its comrades. So he wasn't the only crab in the pot.
That's what they say.
The video, filmed September 5th at a home in Lidoyang, Jiangsu province, shows the acrobatic crab climbing out of the pot of water as it heats up on a hot plate. The crab swings around the hot plate's controls and switches off the heat, saving the lives of its three fellow crabs still in the pot. This was an Asian crab. They're a lot smarter than American crabs. You know, so he probably
Their test scores are way
off the chart. The chart. It was unclear whether the crab's heroism managed to earn it and the other three crustaceans a permanent stay of execution.
I'm betting no. They're too pricey.
They got the sriracha. And
these are the same people that, no offense to them, no offense to our one Hong Kong listener.
Hello.
But these are same people that'll like crack open the skull of a
monkey.
They did the thing where they eat the octopus live.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I said skull, then I thought octopuses don't have skulls.
They don't. They're a little flimsy.
But and these are smart critters.
Yeah.
We call them critters here.
Yeah, that's right, because we're down south.
We're down south. Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Hey.
Another one.
Gambler hits 1.4 million jackpot. Woo-hoo. Casino says bingo machine malfunction.
Okay, Craig.
Kind of convenient.
Now, we've had this happen already once this year.
Yep, kind of convenient that when they lose, they don't want to pay out.
What does it say? 1.4 million? Oh, that's a mistake.
Yeah, that's not right. The cards are always stacked in favor of the casino. Casinos exist for one reason. The one reason alone is to make your money. Well, to take your money.
Right.
They do it legally, even if it's under cloudy circumstances.
Right.
So they do it on cloudy days, stormy days. It doesn't matter. They'll do it under, it doesn't have to just be cloudy.
No. Right. Any day.
Consider the case of an Alabama man who put $5 into an electronic bingo machine at the Wind Creek Casino in Montgomery, Alabama.
Oh, boy. Let's go even further down south.
Yep. The casino is on tribal land. Oh, no. He's going up against them. He's going to go up against them. This ain't going to happen. This ain't going to be good. The casino is on tribal land operated by the Porch Band of Creek Indians. Porch Band of Creek Indians.
Porch, yes.
So they're like...
They play on the porch.
On the porch.
Banjo. Right,
and they're in the creek.
That's terrible. We probably just offended somebody.
We probably did, because honestly, I was just going to say, I don't know what Porch Band of Creek Indians are.
They're Porch Indians, I guess.
They're Porch. Anyway, to the gambler's amazement, several noises, lights, and sirens were activated when the machine announced that Jerry... You got to be kidding me.
No, that's his name.
Jerry Rape had hit the big one.
Jackpot.
The bingo machine indicated a jackpot of $459,000, then $918,000, and finally settled on a payout multiplier of $1,377,000, according to the gambler's lawsuit.
Had to buy a lot of crabs.
The casino took his payout ticket and made him wait for about 24 hours before saying no dice. See what they did there? No dice. He wasn't getting the monster payout. The machine, he was told by the tribe's casino, had malfunctioned.
Sure.
The gambler sued the casino in the tribal court. He's going to lose because they're on their own land.
That's exactly right.
The gambler sued the casino in the tribal court of the Porch Band of Creek Indians, but the suit was dismissed. The court declared that sovereign immunity prevailed, that the tribe was an independent nation and immune from being sued.
Oh, my goodness. They got it made.
They said they were immune to any kind of fraud that I made in the complaint. The gambler's attorney, he talks really Southern.
Well, he's in Alabama.
Right. Matt Abbott told ARS, whoever that is, in a telephone interview, they said the rules don't apply to them, and have a nice day.
Oh, my goodness.
Unable to lodge a claim in tribal court, he rolled the dice with Alabama's state courts and sued the tribe there. On Friday, 7 years after he thought he'd hit the jackpot, the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that he could not sue the tribe in state court. It took him that long to tell no.
Yes.
The proper venue was tribal court. That's because the Porch Band of Creek Indians is a nation of itself, and that's where disputes occurring on that land should be litigated, the court found. The Alabama's higher court noted that it found itself in a catch-22 of sorts. It said it couldn't decide the dispute even if the tribe wasn't entitled to sovereign immunity. So they're making it worse. They're saying, okay, look, guy, don't feel bad. Even if we had to do this, I still don't know what I would do.
Man.
It's pretty obvious what you should do.
Absolutely. You know, and we said this last time.
Give them a little bit of money.
Give them 10 grand.
Yeah.
And just say,
and a steak
sorry.
Dinner.
Yes. And say, sorry it happened. Will this suffice?
Because
if not,
we're
going to our court and it's our court. You know, I'm the judge. So.
But it is pretty lame. They, you know, if a machine says, again, we talked about this.
Yeah.
Machines don't just wake up and just decide they're going to malfunction. They're programmed.
No. If I'm driving down the road and my engine flies out of the hood and hits a truck or something, that's a malfunction.
That would be a malfunction.
Yes.
That would be like it comes loose, the bolts fall out,
and
it drops the engine out of the bottom.
Exactly. That's a malfunction.
The brakes quit working. That's a malfunction.
Right. You push on the brakes, you don't go any slower. Malfunction.
Right.
Jackpot, not no, so much.
Those are calculated.
They're supposed to be.
They're calculated.
Well, here's a headline. Man steals green chili burger after slapping the victim. And this, of course, comes to us, Craig, from New Mexico.
Does sound pretty tasty.
A New Mexico man is facing charges after police say he randomly slapped a customer and then stole the man's green chili cheeseburger.
Insult to injury.
Before dashing away. So this guy just runs up.
Insult to injury.
Smacks the guy to get his, you know, to distract him.
Right.
And grabs his burger and runs. I have been tempted to do stuff like this, but I've got self-control.
Green chili burger sounds pretty good.
It does, doesn't it? Santa Fe police arrested 25-year-old Anthony Frazier. Tony Frazier. I wonder if he's kin to our buddy over in Oklahoma. On Sunday near the Shake Foundation, where
you talking about Brand Flake?
Yeah. Where authorities say the bizarre attack occurred. Brand Flake, if you're listening, you got to let us know if you're kin to Anthony Frazier. According to a criminal complaint, the victim says Frazier walked up to him to dance and then slapped him across the face. What in the world?
La, 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 la. Smack.
hey, buddy, you want to dance? The victim says...
One more people he was, and I'm going to take a green chili burger.
And the victim says Frazier then stole his green chili cheeseburger and ran from the scene. Of course
sad.
He did.
That's sad.
That is sad, isn't it? Witnesses say Frazier also had a belt around his neck. This is good. This is weird. This is the weird news podcast.
You want to hear another weird random story?
I'm always up for one of these.
Random story.
So there's this guy that used to work where I worked, and he was from somewhere in Europe, and he was just a strange individual. Super nice guy. Just peculiar as all get out. And he would, like, one thing he would do is sit in front of his mobile home with just shorts on in a bathtub that was in his front yard, wave at people as they went by.
Now, so when you say shorts, you're not talking about, like, underwear.
Well, whatever. He made himself look like he had no clothes on, sitting in a bathtub in the front yard, and he'd just wave at people. One day, he was, like, walking up and down the street, just, like, stopping and looking at people real funny, waving at them, and, like, hi. And he's like, really?
Oh, my gosh.
So, but he would wear, talking about the belt, he would wear, like, a shirt not tucked in, and this belt, like a Santa Claus belt, some kind of a weird belt, would be around his middle. It was the most peculiar thing I'd ever seen. That's the end of my story.
That is bizarre.
Greg's random story.
Awesome guy, though. Nice guy.
Sure.
Weird.
Sad. Sounds like.
So, man wields machete and leads police on chase after snatching $17 worth of potato chips.
O.J. Simpson just got released.
He did.
He hadn't had chips in a long time.
And you know he's probably got a machete. Ooh. A Florida man wielding a machete sent law enforcement on a wild goose chase. So he had geese involved.
Yeah.
After he allegedly stole $17 worth of potato chips.
That's a lot of potato chips.
Quite a bit.
Yeah, you could carry it in one hand because it's probably only...
Yeah, half of its air.
Yeah, that's true.
I lost my spot. Hey, Dustin Odom, 26, of Pasco County, Florida, who was recently released from prison on grand theft auto, burglary, and other charges, allegedly threatened a delivery truck driver with machete while heisting a carton of potato chips, according to a release posted by the Bay County Sheriff's Office Facebook page, which is where everyone should go for their official announcements.
He said, "Yo, mister, are these your chips?"
Yeah, he got a whole big old box of them.
He said, "That's not a knife.
That's a machete.
That's a machete."
Although Odom first passed off the chips to 24-year-old Jasmine Mundy, also of Pasco County, Florida, he quickly left her behind and continued evading police, eventually fleeing on foot. I hope he had just handfuls of chips shoving them in his mouth as he was running. It all started when Bay County Sheriff's Office deputies investigated the initial snack-related heist. The victim, a truck driver, said he spotted a man entering the back of the vehicle. When confronted, the man, allegedly Odom, drew a machete, and threatened him. That's when he reportedly fled with Mundy in his car.
Uh-oh.
He couldn't take Tuesday, Wednesday.
No.
But remember the guy that in New York or whatever walked into the back of that truck and stole
the gold
or whatever?
Yes, gold flake. Whatever happened to that? They ever find the guy?
I didn't follow up with him. He's not my Facebook friend. I can't really tell you.
Two poo stories, same show, Craig.
Well, bring it.
Weird news happens.
Don't bring poo. Just bring the stories.
We don't write the weird news. We report the weird news.
Right.
You know, we don't make this stuff up.
So unfortunately, we are the messengers.
There could be more than two. Fortunately, this week there's not. But anyway, headline is Feces Elementary School to change name after 55 years.
It was called Feces Elementary School? But they called it FES.
Imagine telling friends and family that you're going to Feces Elementary School.
I love that.
The thing is, though, it's elementary school, and they probably won't learn the word feces at least
until...
They
use the word poop.
Yeah, the poop elementary. For 55 years, students and graduates of Daidan Elementary School in Gintang, Busan have...
I love how you really just roll through it.
...had to refer to the word when mentioning their school. Daidan means feces in Korean.
Don't check us, our one Hong Kong listener.
No, please.
I'm not saying our Hong Kong listener speaks Korean.
Maybe.
I'm just saying that...
I do.
...that they might.
All right. You know,
it's close enough proximity.
I could say words like, oh, why you so over there? You know, I speak a little.
That's actually...
For 55 years, I've already read that one. Because of its name, the school has been a laughingstock. Wouldn't you imagine?
Yep.
While some of the students currently enrolled had their feelings hurt when their school was referred to as the poop school.
Well, why do they name it that? Does they talk about this later?
But on Thursday, the school announced that it will finally change its name. Students and alumni have gathered over 4,000 signatures since April in a campaign to change the name. A school committee will decide on a new name from three alternatives. Pee-pee.
Yeah, right.
Doo-doo.
Barf.
Following the committee's deliberation, the school will submit an official request at the Hyundai Office of Education. The school will be legally entitled to use the new name from March 2018 after an audit by the Busan City Board.
Train to Busan. I saw the – have you seen the movie?
No.
They got zombies in Busan.
Oh, really? That's sad.
It's called Train to Busan. Oh,
Zombie High School.
That's a great
– did they go to Feces?
No, but it's a great Korean movie. Great zombie movie. Train to Busan.
Founded in 1963.
No, then the movie was founded probably in 2016. The
school was named after a village called Deberonry.
Yeah,
in the city area where the school is. The village's name was shortened from that of a nearby Dung Ding Bung Ding Bung port. And the school only has, Craig, it only has 76.
Yeah, you're not being insensitive by calling it Dung Ding Bung Port. You just have no idea how to say that.
No, that's how it's spelled.
Dung Ding Bung Port. Bung Po Port. It's the Mark Patch Top 10.
Sad one. It's a sad one this week.
I looked at the wrong story and I was going, you're right. This is a horrible story.
Top 10.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Here it is. Last night. No, well, it's been a few nights ago.
This is kind of our tribute. Because we're both pretty big fans of Tom Petty.
We lost Tom Petty.
So sad.
Yeah.
We were discussing him during our warm-up meeting before turning on the mics. Yeah, the band meeting. You know, Tom Petty, I really enjoy his voice. People say it's unique. It's very unique.
It is. You know his voice when you hear it.
He wouldn't sing for the opera, mind you.
No, he's not that kind of... No.
He never wanted to.
No.
You know?
I think he had a great voice. He just didn't have a traditional textbook type voice. Very unique. But that's what made him great. That was his charm.
So tonight's top 10 Mark Patch list is top 10...
First of all, it's the Mark Patch top 10.
Oh, did I get that backwards?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Top 10 Tom Petty song... Why does it say sings?
Because I misspelled it.
Top 10 Tom Petty songs... From Rolling Stone.
Yeah, this is from Rolling Stone because, oddly enough, I completely agree, though. I was copying these from the website.
I can't really put them together. They're all...
Number 10, I Won't Back Down. A great song.
Okay, well, don't. Let me just get through the list. And then number 9, Room at the Top.
Now, that one not a lot of people know, but it's so good. It's one of his most poetic songs. Number 8, Breakdown.
Ready?
Yeah.
Number 7, Top 10 Tom Petty Sings.
Yeah.
According to your list.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Number 7?
Yeah, number 7.
The Waiting.
Yes.
It's the hardest part.
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
Number 6, Running Down a Dream.
Number 5, Listen to Her Heart.
That's a good one. All these are. Number 4, Free Falling.
Number 3, Don't Come Around Here No More, Aaron.
Number 2.
No, that's not full. I added that at the end.
Yeah, that's not part of the name. Number 2, Refugee.
And the number 1, but wait, I'm going to add another one in here.
Wait, you can't do that. It's not the top 11.
I'm
going to
add a
2B? Or not 2B?
No, I'm going to say honorable mention.
Oh, okay. Well, should we wait?
Number 1 is American Girl.
That's my all-time favorite Tom Petty song.
And I want to add an honorable mention.
Go ahead.
It's a Stevie Nicks song.
Well, that doesn't count.
No, Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
Okay.
Come on.
All right, well, I'll give you that one. It's just simply because I'm in a giving mood.
Well, it's just a... He's so great. It's like the other one Stevie did with Don Henley.
Yeah.
He really kind of made the whole song.
Everybody does.
Stevie's just kind of there.
Yes.
Sorry,
as
Stevie.
Usual.
Sorry, Stevie.
Not a fan.
You know.
Unless she wants to be on the podcast.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening to episode 111.
We're gone.
We'll be back later this week, episode 112.